Blog Talk Radio.
Every day a star is born.
You better believe it.
Believe it.
Believe it.
Believe it.
Every day a star is born.
Blog Talk Radio.
B-O-G-M.
Hey.
B-O-G-M. B-O-G-M. My wife Carla started, seen Ronnie do it. Sweet T and Say Too, they came through. Taking their debut in the recession, showing us how to make do. In the middle was heavy, but light on the edge. With Chauncey Gibson, the righteous get fed. Trey Love crying from his heart to the core. On the move with the mind of an entrepreneur. A better tomorrow, we play for fight. Maximize potential, reshape your life. Time ain't never wasted. They got flaws with guided meditation. Rise above it all, at least. Navigating through this Middle East, it's like trying to rollerblade up a hill of grease. The radio media is a maverick tutor. With Grandma's Grip and Don Adams Jr.
Junior.
Y'all know what it is, man.
E-O.
In the building.
Building.
O-G-M-A.
E-O.
Hey, what's up, family? Welcome back to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And guess what? I am he, your talk show host, Don Adams Jr. I want to thank you. Thank you, thank you. But we'll get to that in a minute. In any event, listen, family, we got a really hot topic going on with us today. You know, we're going to be talking about why all the jobs are being outsourced in this country. What the hell is really going on? And you know what? Hopefully I'm going to have some answers for you. But before we get started, let me let you all know, today is Call In and Shout Out Your Business Fridays for all you great business owners out there. And I'm going to give you the information a little bit later on in the show. But if you own a business and you want to shout out your business, I'm going to give you 30 seconds or so. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty. I'm going to give you 30 seconds or so to go ahead and, call in and shout your business out. Put your stuff out there, especially for some of you minority businesses out there, okay? So with that being said, let me go ahead and get this thing cranked up. We're going to do some indie artist music. Ron A coming at you with We Gonna Make It. Here you go, family. Gotta head ourselves for a minute.
Bottom line, I swear to God, I'm bound to shine. Don't play this game from the bench, nigga, I'm starting line. They pressure the pocket, hoping, wishing that they can stop it. I scramble like Randall, I'm out of pocket, pursuing profit. My only option is to grind till my bone bristle, swinging like a man drunk, ride without a turning signal. See, life is a bitch, so I stay strapped and I'm trying to fuck her. I'm going nuts for this dough, maybe my mind is clustered. Thinking about all the bad, thinking about times alone. I'm headed to the top, I swear to God it ain't no stopping me.
We gon' make it. I'm hustling all the time, keeping my main focus, I'm on my grind. We gon' make it. I'm in my right state of mind, right where I wanna be, I'm speaking right to no lie. We gon' make it. No one before, never against me, shall prosper. We shootin' for the top, and y'all can't stop.
We gon' make it.
We gon' make it. I'm keeping my head up.
To make it, ain't no way they can take it. The reason I'm rocking these brains, cause I know I can't be faded. Shooting for the top, if I make a six, then they got the pilot. I've been at the bottom, I continue to climb a body. Fuck a limit in this guy. Oh, going over high. Still rising and beat the fly. Oh. Ain't no giving, skip being a diet. You can keep the material shit. Can't get the street of violence. Just well as the D about it. SKIBD about it. Never expose the failure. That's why I keep weak from rhyming. Invest in GPS. Ride hard to reach the firing. If you ain't grinding for shit, then why they hear you be around? You see you a big wrong. One of the gangsters who be around. Stay home and stay focused. We don't see nothing beneath the island. Walking this long road, cold nights bringing heat behind it. Fuck how I hate to feel and however he take it. Once I got nothing, KIP, you know we gon' make it. I'm hustling all the time, keeping my main focus. I'm on my grind. We gon' make it. I'm in my right state of mind, right where I wanna be. I'm speaking right, no lie. We gon' make it. Don't get formed up against me.
Yeah, welcome back, family, to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And as I said before, guess what? I am he. Welcome again, family. As always, I want to thank you all for your time. You know, I know it's a million and one places y'all could be, but you decided to spend this evening, this lovely evening on Friday with me. And thank goodness for daylight saving time while we're at it. Let me give my normal acknowledgments out to Carla B., Ronnie, the First Lady GPT, Sweet T, of course. And I want to also give a shout-out to Queen G. And for those of you who don't know, that is my EOTM family, including the CEO, vice president, and other hosts that I tend to host with. Our show information is www.eotmradio.com, or you can tune in to www.queensofinternetradio.com. Our studio call-in line, as always, is 718-664-6543. I'm going to say that one more time for your family. 718-664-6543. My personal email, which, by the way, we do have a BlackBerry letter to share with you today. Don Adams Talk Show at EOTM.com. Don Adams Talk Show at EOTMradio.com. Guess what, family? The blog room is open tonight, too. So I'm going to look for you in there, the blog room. When you open up your tab to go to the show, if you look just below it to the right, there's a green tab that says Chat Now. That's the blog room. If you all want to get in there and chop it up with me while I'm on the show, and send me your comments if you don't want to call in, I'll be happy to read it out for you. Let me give you all some of the highlights of the show tonight. I want to announce why some of the jobs in this country are being outsourced. I'm going to try to give you an idea of what jobs are being outsourced the most. What I mean by outsource, and some folks have a tendency to not understand what outsourcing means, is that what jobs are being sent overseas. We have a huge thing going on, and it's quietly being done, family, where companies are making millions and sending our jobs overseas while our economy is in shambles, which I think is very counterproductive to what's actually going on as far as repairing the state of our economy. One of the other things we're going to talk about is some of the benefits that these companies are getting. And I think these companies are doing some of these things because we, the American people, have no clue, no idea of how they are benefiting from these things. And I want to throw this out there to you. When we take the gloves off later, I want to share this with your family, that when we talk about voting, when we talk about how bills and laws are passed, this has a huge impact on that process, and this is why some of these companies are getting away with this. Also, and finally, family, we're going to talk about the George Bush era, and I want to expose some of the nasty little secrets that are hidden about the George Bush and Ron Dick Cheney administration. Some things that I'm sure you know a lot of you all are not aware of. We all know about the Halliburton incident that went on in Iraq, and as far as Dick Cheney having been a part of an intricate part of the Halliburton organization. But what we don't know, family, is how extensive that is. And we don't necessarily know the numbers about the amount of money that Dick Cheney made, and also, even more importantly, about the amount of money that Halliburton made overseas. Now, all of this stuff is reported, but it's not exactly put on the front page. And that's why it's big news. It's because they by law, they're required to put those numbers out there, family, but they're not required to bring it to your attention. That's, you follow where I'm going? And as always, I want to take the time out to mention our child support issues. You know, we have a link, www.eotmradio.com. There's a child support petition on there. We're trying to get up enough signatures within the course of 12 months. In January of 2011, hopefully we'll have TV cameras rolling and the whole nine. And with family, I promise you, I'm going to take those petitions with those names, and I'm going to go to Congress or wherever else I can get to make some changes. We want to let our senators and our congressmen know that we're serious about that. You know, these are issues that are affecting us, the common man, so we want to let them know. And without any further ado, I want to introduce to you all, family, my sexy, sweet but sassy teammate, co-host, buddy, chump, however you want to look at it. Let me just bring her on in here. Sweet T, you with us, baby?
This is crazy.
How you feeling tonight?
I'm fine.
You know, well, that's good. I'm glad.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say for some of the family out there who haven't been with us for a minute. I have a new co-host. Her name is Sweet T. She's been with EOTM for quite a while. Actually, longer than I have. I have to admit. And you know, we just made some changes and decided to bring Sweet T on board. And just want to introduce you to the family again. Because there's some of them out there who are confused and don't know what's going on with that tidbit. But with that being said, go with it, Sweet T.
Well, I'm doing great. Today is Friday, thank goodness. And this weather, oh my goodness, it's off the chain, guys. This weather is so lovely today that I'm going to see my sister, Carla B., to drive her crazy. Or drive her crazy today. But, I don't understand. This Sunday is going to rain. So you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it Friday, Saturday, and then I'm going to cuddle up with my kids and watch a good movie on that rainy day. And then
you know what? That's all that's some typical girl stuff. I hate to say it like that.
You know you watch those Lifetime movies.
You know I have to at times. Hey, Sweet T, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had to work with or around stinky people?
Yes, I have. I can tell you a story.
Okay.
Ready for me?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me your story.
I remember at the time I was training to be a construction worker. I was in school to learn how to
Wait
do that.
Wait a minute. You was training to be a construction worker?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael Basin did a show the other day about women taking on manly jobs. They had some fine sisters.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
why I'm going to talk about stinky people.
Go ahead and roll with it.
Okay. So at the time, you know, I was, you know, there having fun and doing my job. And the teacher was a female teacher. She was in her late 50s, and she worked there for years. So, you know, everybody's in there doing their thing and everything, but all the guys just always make fun of me. You don't need to do this. You look like you need to be a model, or you're so petite, or you don't know what you're doing, and all this stuff. And I used to be like, whatever, 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 whatever. I said, don't let this pretty face fool you. So I remember one time we had to get together and everything, and they was passing out awards. And they said, I wasn't expecting to win anything. And they was like, the best construction work of the month is Teresa Simpson. I was like, I sat there for a minute. Look, I sat there for a minute like, did they actually just call me? So then I looked back at all the guys who made fun of me. And I switched down the stairs and looked back with my little tool belt on and everything in my hard hat and looked at them like, yeah. But you know what I messed up at? My head got big. And she had to bring me, and she had to sit me down one time in her office and say, look, ever since you won this award, you act like you don't have to do nothing around here. You need to get it back together. thought I was the stuff then. You couldn't tell me nothing. But, yeah, that I had to earn my respect. And, I feel like, you can choose what you want to do in life. And my sisters always made fun of me and said that I need to do something. I'm always doing something rough. But I was a tomboy.
But
let me finish. Nobody don't make fun of no dude when they want to be a nurse. Okay?
Say it again.
Nobody don't make fun of these dudes out there where they want to be a nurse.
Well, yes, they do, too. I know. When I first started school, one of the reasons why when I went to Georgia State, I went to Georgia State to be a nurse. And I changed my profession because I kept looking around and there wasn't a number of females in the class, and guys were looking at me sideways. So I switched it over to criminal justice,
That's sad that you got to live for, if you live for other people, honey, you'll never get nowhere in life. Now, if you want to be a nurse, you should have been a nurse. Now, I don't care what nobody say, because like I tell my kids, and like I told you, the family before, and I'm going to say it again this evening.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing good, they don't have something bad to say. When you're doing bad, they don't have something bad to say. So live your life.
So, but let me ask you this, though, Sweetie, but what about the stinky people? What'd you do about the stinky men? Because I know in the construction work, there had to be some stinky.
I told you what I did. You didn't hear what I said? I switched down the stairs, and I turned back, and I was just looking so cute at them and saying, look, honey, pretty face, do it all. That's what I did. And they couldn't say nothing because the proof was in the pudding, sweetie.
Well, here's where I'm going with that, all right? I've been in situations where I worked in corporate America here in Georgia. And, corporate America, for the family out there, meaning wear a suit and tie, not some type of profession. I've worked in professions where I've had to get dirty as well, but this is one where I had to wear a suit and tie every day. And worked around people who came to work dressed to the nines, but they were stinky. And at some point it had gotten to the point where, hey, this had to be brought to somebody's attention. And that's where I was going with that, was I was going to ask you, Sweetie, how do you think something like that should be brought to somebody's attention?
Well,
thank you. Yes, thank you, people. People with hygiene problems.
You said literally they stink? Literally?
Yeah, like stinking.
Okay, I thought you were just talking about, like, being around people who just didn't want you to work with them and stuff. That's what I thought you were talking about, but you talk about literally being stinky.
Smelly. Like,
okay,
ooh, you need to wash. You need to get some soap and wash it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I was way off track, and now I look like an A. But,
We got you. You're good.
Okay.
You're good.
Oh, my God. First of all, I'm the type of person, I'm a people person, and if you think, what I'm saying is, like, everybody having their situation different, and you have to be more careful what you say to people, because I feel like if a person is walking around stinking, they even can't smell themselves, and they got a problem, because some people really have an odor problem, or,
yeah, go ahead. I'm listening to you.
I'm just telling you what what I heard and learned. A lot of people have an older problem they can't get rid of. And if you don't want to take my word for it, look it up. So my whole point is, some people better.
Your phone breaking up.
What? Could you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Okay, yeah, I'm breaking up.
Yeah, you're breaking up just a little bit. But you know what, Sweetie? I'm going to say it to you like this. I couldn't get that last part of it. But I put that out there because, one of the subject that we're talking about tonight is obviously going to be in the workplace. And I know that sometimes in the workplace you're dealing with situations, man, that are, hard or challenging to deal with. And that just happens to be one of them. But I want to keep it moving, and I want to put this out there too, family. On Tuesday's show, we're speaking of unemployment. And employment. I mentioned that Georgia, the state of Georgia, is trying to pass a drug law that says that people that collect unemployment have to do drug screening in order to get their unemployment. You have to pass the drug screening. They're trying to rush and put that bill into work right now here in the state of Georgia. Just want to put that out there for your family so that those of you who are up on what's your politics and what's going on in the state, you'll check that out. Sweetie, you still with us?
Yes, could you hear me, Don?
Yeah, I got you now. I got you.
Let me ask you a question. Have you, I know you probably didn't really hear everything that I was trying to say to you as far as stinky people. You know, it's a, you can either help them or, you know, I'm just thank God and I'm blessed that I know when I'm musty and stinky and I can take care of myself. But I wanted to ask you, have you been around people like that? And how did you handle your situation?
Yeah, you know what, I have. You know what, and I'm going to tell you something. I have, but before I go there with it, I'm going to tell you this. My mother used to always tell us that if you can smell, if somebody else can smell you, surely you can smell yourself. And if you smell yourself, somebody else can smell you. But I'm going to say this to you. You know, I've been in situations like that. And in my profession, working here at the Housing Authority, I was sort of a social worker, counselor with the Housing Authority, and I worked around a bunch of females. So imagine the sensitivity of that topic. But when it happened, being in the social field, you know, you learn how to deal with people on a straightforward type approach. You learn how to just tell them what's on your mind. You don't come right out and brutally tell them certain things, but you learn how to be sort of confrontational but non-confrontational. So with that, when it happened, I went to her and I said, listen, is everything okay? I kind of beat around the bush, and I just kind of brought up, hygiene issues and so forth and so on, and I didn't have to directly go at her. When I brought up hygiene issues and so forth and so on, knowing the type of person that I was, she picked up on what I was trying to say. But we had another individual that was there at the same office who had some issues that simply, I don't give a shit what you said. She just refused to address it. And at the end of the day, it became such a big issue. I think she lost her job because of it. This woman lost her job. She lost her job.
You know what? I'm just going to tell you like this. I'm just remembering this episode. Can you hear me? I remember an episode that I was watching probably a year ago on TLC. And it was this female who was on there talking about that she always had a hygiene problem, but it was nothing that she could do about it. She tried everything. She's seen all kind of doctors and everything. So she never thought that she'd be able to get married for like all her life from junior high school, because she wanted to be a doctor. People always made fun of her and everything. So she found someone who loves her for her. So then when she just got so tired of like smelling like this, there's nothing she could do about it, she started doing research on it. And the doctor told her it's like a scent in her body that she can't get rid of. It's certain things.
Yeah,
I heard it. Yeah, I was watching that. It's certain things that she ate that he said she got to cut out from eating.
Mm-hmm.
He gave her something trying to help her. But at the end, she was like, when she was going to school to try to be a doctor, all the people was behind her whispering and everything. She said, I know I had to deal with it in junior high school and high school, but we all grown now and I still got to deal with it. It's not my fault. And it hurts. But my whole point is, you just never know people's situations. Because we so quick to just think that they don't want to wash their ass. But you just don't know what they're going through. And that taught me a lot when I was watching this show. And I was like, wow. That kind of blew me away. It just you just never know what people have to go through. It's not just some people don't get it. Some people just don't care. Some people just can't smell themselves. Some people just can't help it. It's all kinds of things out there. So you gotta understand. Like the female that you pulled to the side, you talked to her. Now she probably knew, but she probably I don't know. Gonna help it or she just didn't care. But you got people out there literally just can't help it.
Right. Wow. Well, you know what, Sweet Tea? Let's keep it moving. I appreciate that comment. That was powerful there. But you know what? You're right. There are people with situations like that, and we should be aware of that. I appreciate that. I know the family does, too. Let's get with our BlackBerry letter, because our BlackBerry letter comes from someone who chimed in on the topic of today's show, which is, why are our jobs going overseas? What in the hell is going? What's really going on? And I want to, before I read this BlackBerry letter, I want to put this thought out there for America or for the family out there that's listening. Think about this while I read this letter and while you're listening to the show. Fleecing. And I say fleecing because when you think about fleecing, you often think about somebody getting whipped, somebody getting beat down, somebody getting hit over the head. I mean, however you want to imagine it, but fleecing. Because that's what's going on with this country is our workers and our people are being fleeced. And I want to put this out there. So listen to this letter, family, and then Sweet Tea and I are going to chop it up for just a brief minute. And I know Queen G is going to come in with us later on, Sweet Tea. Matter of fact, I know Queen G is listening. So as soon as I finish this letter, No, we're going to bring Queen Jeannie in to give up some comments on this letter. Yeah, and then we're going to keep it moving. But family, once again, before I get started, I want to put the call-in number out there is 718-664-6543. And with that being said, let's get with this BlackBerry letter. This comes from a gentleman by the name of DeRouse, Mr. Casey. We all know this country is in turmoil. We are a short distance from depression. This country has been too liberal, too free to lend money out to people who, when out of a job, cannot pay it back. People have lost jobs, money, homes, autos, and security. Most of all, people are losing confidence in themselves and the government. We had politicians who let slide companies and corporations that moved their operations overseas or to Mexico, all for the sake of cheap wages and padding their pockets. Profitability was their chief concern. This country is slowly being bought by other countries. Our mighty dollar is not so mighty anymore. We are letting our politicians devalue our self-worth. Other countries are looking on us with deep concern. Future generations will spend their lives digging this country out of financial ruin and self-respect. We need courageous leaders who will stand up and lead this country with an open mind and work to keep people with jobs. People are losing their respect and confidence. When a man loses his job and has to tell his family he is sorry, being sorry does not put food on the table or does it pay the bills. We need our jobs back from overseas so we can build up once again our self-worth and respect. We may have answers, but not solutions. People come to this country for a better life and self-worth. What do we have to offer them now? Stand in line for a job? Our freedom is being taken away. Let's get it back. We need leaders and not politicians. What you think about that, Queen G? I mean, Sweet Tea.
Woo! I'm getting emotional on that because I feel sorry for the people who's taking their lives, and the husbands have to come home and tell their wives all that, and the wives got to come home and tell their husband. That's a real powerful statement that you just made there, but this is how I feel about the whole situation, but I'm going to give your attention. If you didn't know, now you know what I'm about to say. First of all, I didn't hear none of the doctors. None of these doctors, tell them, correct me if I'm right or wrong, I ain't hear no doctors or any doctors nowhere losing their, I want to say, career anywhere. But every time I turn around, I hear about these teachers losing their jobs, okay? The point that I'm trying to make right now is the teachers and the doctors, to me, it's in the same boat, but the teachers is losing their jobs because if the doctors lose their jobs, what are we going to do with all our doctors to teach us about our help or being there for us? That's the same thing that happens. That's the same thing what we need for the teachers. They keep losing all their jobs and everything. What's going to happen to our kids? You know, they should be treated with the same respect as the doctors get. Even these firefighters who's losing their jobs, okay? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with the houses when it's burnt down? You know, I mean, I don't understand. Why they holding on to their job, the doctors and the teachers losing their job? I mean, do you feel what I'm saying? What's happening with the kids? The schools are shutting down and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. People need to, something got to give. And, I mean, I was going to sleep and I thought about it before. And when I went to go to sleep, I heard about it again, some more teachers losing their jobs. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because you know what? I know here in Georgia, there was one point where they were looking for teachers and they were actually going overseas and bringing teachers in from overseas to work here in Georgia. Do you remember that? And you remember that? What, back? I think it was a couple of years ago when they were talking about how they were such a shortage of school teachers were bringing.
Yeah,
they were trying to bring that. So basically, to me, I mean, and I say that because you know what? I remember when I was in school, there were so many people, bright students, men and women, that were studying in the field of education and looking forward to hitting the streets and becoming school teachers. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Here's the bureaucracy of that. What a lot of people don't realize is that in order to be a school teacher, there's certain criteria that has to be met as far as a background check. And I know that a lot of these people fell off the map because of that. You follow me? And that's going to lead to, and I'm setting that up for later, family, because I'm going to tie that into our subject, which is why are these jobs going overseas? Sweet, Queen G, you with us, mate?
Yeah. Hey, y'all.
Hey, Queen G.
What's going on? It's a lot going on this particular show, guys. Right in, man, it's going down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, what you
think about that BlackBerry letter, Queen G?
Oh, that was hot. I mean, he made some real detailed points, you know what I mean? Very legitimate point. I have a problem with, and I didn't want to jump in on this point first, but since you asked me, I'm going to start it off with this.
Go ahead.
I have a problem with illegals coming over here and not going through the national process of becoming legal to work in the USA. Like, just jumping in and getting, you know what I mean? Because it really does make it hard for citizens to get work, you know what I mean? Like, it's not work available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's really, really unfair. I mean, I can't go to certain countries or whatever and just jump and get, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? There are certain things that you're supposed to do, and I have a problem with people coming over here not becoming legal first to work in the USA and just getting a job. And then I have a problem with the employers that bend the rules and allow them to work for them as well. You know what I mean? They feel as if I can shortchange and give them under the table, so let me go ahead and pull them on board and work. It works both ways, you know what I mean? It's broke down on both sides, if you know what I'm saying. So that's my thing. I mean, I don't have much to say about it, but I have a problem with that. And I have a problem with when I call a customer service, you know what I'm saying, a legal answers the phone.
Yeah.
And I can't understand what they're saying, and they can't understand me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Ooh, that's so irritating.
Yes, sir, it sure is. But you know what, Queen G, let me address something, if I can, if I might, with the first thing that you put out there, which was the illegals. You know what, I'm going to be honest with you. I have an issue with people coming into my country. And I said my country because this country does not belong to Congress. It does not belong to the president. It belongs to all of us, including the president and Congress. My country, with people coming into my country that don't belong here and getting jobs, I agree with that aspect of it. Because I feel like this, I've been to other countries, and let me tell you something, unless you stop at the border and register and get your card and your paperwork and everything in order, you're not about to go over there and get a job, let alone set up camp and start having kids and babies and make a life for yourself. You're not about to do that. This country has become too lax on that respect. But now, in defense of these folks that come over here and take these jobs, let me tell you something. They wouldn't come here if, number one, if there was not an opportunity for them to have those jobs. Now, that answer isn't twofold. These greedy company owners and these greedy employers that see these folks coming over and want to give them the jobs for cheaper labor, that's wrong. The other thing is this. We have to realize that, and this is an inherited thing, is that before the United States came in and took over Texas, California, Arizona, and Utah, and even certain parts of Washington, that country belonged to Mexico. That was Mexican territory. These people were forced out of their homes, and they were pushed down into Mexico. Okay? That's when we had the Mexican-American War, because the Americans wanted to come in and take their country, take their land from them, which we successfully did. So with that being said, I'm just going to say it to you like this. I believe that, listen, inherently this land was theirs. They should have the opportunity to come back, but do it legally. Because what's happening is they are coming in, and I don't think that the fact that they're coming in and taking these jobs that a lot of people won't do is having as much of an impact on the economy and the job market as some of the information that we're going to put out there tonight. I think that may be, on a bigger scale, just a very, very teeny portion of it. You follow what I'm saying? Because I don't see a lot of those folks coming over here and opening up shops and, I mean, opening up major corporations and you know, and things. I see these folks coming in and working those back-breaking jobs that, you know what, African-Americans and on some scale white folks, you know, don't want to do. You follow what I'm saying? So, I, you know, and I, in other words, I'm saying I see your point, But at the end of the day, guess what? I don't think it's as much of an impact. You follow where I'm going, Queen G?
I appreciate that, your opinion. We agreed when we talked about how they need to come over and do it legally. That's all I was saying. That's the point
absolutely.
I was making. And I'm going to tell you something else, Don. What we failed to put out there, not only are the employers participating in this, but there are people on the streets that are hustling check stubs, that are hustling security numbers, because it's so bad out here. It's like, okay, there's an illegal alien. They need to work. Let me get them legal. You know what I'm saying? They're hustling profiles, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Traffic can come here and pick up a whole different profile, and people don't talk about that and address those kind of things, but it doesn't fall in one area only. That's what I'm saying. Like, not only do we have the illegals coming in working, we have the employers giving up the jobs for undercut pay, but we also have that street mentality, street hustle aspect of it where, you know, people need money, so they do what they have to do to get it.
Sweet T, what's up, baby? Sweet T, what's up?
Yeah, I'm just wanting to just touch on what about the people who's just taking their lives and stuff, and it just feel like it's just really over with. I mean, what kind of advice could we get them to stay positive? Because I know it's looking bad for a lot of people, but at the same time, I want to say something positive to try to touch somebody who can stay motivated and it's gonna be all right. Because a lot of people is just giving up. You know what I'm saying? Just giving up literally. And it's really kind of scary because, you know, I'm the first one that truly believe never say never, because you just don't never know who's close to you or friends or relative forever who would take their life for what they're going through. So I never want to get too comfortable in thinking it never can happen to anyone around me or who I know. So I just want to touch on that. What could we say positive to try to keep them strong, to motivate people, it's going to be all right? Probably look like it ain't going to be all right, but it is.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that I shared, and Carla on the line, I see you on the line. We get ready to bring this caller on in 1 second. But I'm going to answer that for you, Sweetie. One of the things that I try to encourage people to do, and matter of fact, I'm doing myself as I do this radio thing, is to go to school, learn some additional trades, and get some additional education. For those of you that feel like education is beyond reach, let me tell you that it's not. All you have to do is go down to your prospective college, give them your interest in what you want to go to school in, and those folks are getting paid to guide you through the process. I am currently becoming a forensic psychologist, so at the end of the day, you know, hey, I'm not a wealthy man. You know, I'm not somebody out there with deep pockets. You know, the economy hit me just as bad. My job was outsourced, just like the rest of them are being outsourced. But guess what? I'm going to school to be a psychologist, a forensic psychologist. So I would suggest that you find hope, that you find a way, and do the things that you do. Let me bring this call on the line, ladies, and I appreciate both of you, especially you, Queen G, because I know you have a busy schedule over there. And stick with us, sweetie, if you can. Let me bring this call on the line. All right, call on the line. It's 301-351. You're on.
Hey, what's up, Don? This officer. Hey.
Hey, what's going on, my brother? Good to hear from you.
Hey, man, what's going on? Great show as usual. I just want to make a comment, and I'll get off the line.
Okay.
And I've been listening, talking about the jobs being outsourced, and I think one of your hosts hinted on about our Hispanic brothers and sisters coming in and doing the backbreaking jobs, and I just want to put this up right here. Our illegals that come over, and it's not just the Hispanic brothers and sisters. Also, you know, Africans come over, Ethiopians, and you know, everybody comes over because they want to make a life for themselves. And we got to think about something. These people that come over, they're not CEOs. They're not Fortune 500 clubs. I mean, they're starting from the ground up, and they're doing backbreaking jobs, like you mentioned. I mean, where I live at, you can go to any Home Depot, and our Hispanic brothers is out there waiting for somebody to come pick them up, and do some painting, some yard work, or something. So, I mean, and I put that out there to say this. I mean, when you want to fix a problem, you can't fix a problem from the bottom and work it up. You got to fix a problem from the top, work it down. Now, we had 8 years of a lot of grief at its maximum height in the past 8 years, where jobs were sent overseas, big business pretty much ruled and ran this country like never seen before. That's why we're in this quandary that we are right now. And our Congress, our elected official, they have to step in. They have got to step in. They got to get rid of all the bureaucracy, all the politics, all the squabbling, and they got all the special interest groups, and all that stuff out the way, and they got to do what's right for the American people. And they got to start making jobs right here in this country to build it back up. And I'm going to say this right here, that I'm going to get off. With the way everything was outsourced and ran overseas, and the big business that made all the money that they made, and the tax breaks that they received, and things of that nature, everybody that was and is involved with that, they should be embarrassed with themselves with the way that we elected our officials in and they sold us out on the back end of them. That's all I want to put out there.
Yeah, I appreciate you. That's some beautiful comments there, Officer A. As always, we appreciate you calling in. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to put it out there, family, and let you know that, you know, my opinion is that, you know, these folks that are coming over here, they're not just, you know, from the Mexican population. These folks are Africans. These folks are from all other countries. It just so happens that our brown-skinned friends and cousins that are south of the border are taking the worst rap. Taking a bad rap for this. With that being said, let me put some interesting stuff out there for you, family, because y'all know I love doing this. Across India, there's a new sophisticated outsourcing industry that's emerging, one that requires skills well beyond those needed for traditional call centers, and it's extending well beyond publishing work. Anything that can be outsourced is being outsourced today in India, okay? It's going to end a lot of that. And what I'm saying, family, is that a lot of our jobs, the number one spot for outsourcing is India. A lot of our jobs are being outsourced to India. And this comes from the National Association of Software Service Companies. And the reason why it comes from those people at the National Software Service Companies, Association of Software Services, is because the number one job that's being outsourced has to do with technical applications, technical jobs, computer jobs. That's right. Our companies, the same companies that we buy our products from, that we support with our hard-earned dollars, are sending our money right on overseas. Now, let's do some math on that for all you mathematicians that are out there. Let's see. All right? Now, economy screwed up. George Bush, last 8 years. Big companies make lots of money with tax cuts and tax breaks out of this world. Jobs going overseas. And then the fifth number that I'm going to put in there is American worker. And let's do some math with that. Let's see. One, what that tabulates to, family, is guess what? With all of those things that I just mentioned, you and I, the American worker, the common man, we're stuck without a job because some of the ignorant practices that our ignorant ex-president George Bush and the greedy Mr. Cheney put in place, and I'm going to get a hold of them later on. In fact, I'm going to put some facts out there that's going to support that 100%. Best believe that. Now, with those two, and I call those two, by the way, American gangsters. I know they came out with a movie called The American Gangster, but let me tell y'all something, family. George Bush and Mr. Cheney are the true American gangsters. Those cats came in and fleeced this country right in front of you, and no one did a damn thing to stop them or say anything about it. Why? Because of the respect for the office that they hold. Now, with that being said, with some of the things that they have allowed these companies to do, and I'm going to tell y'all why these companies were allowed to do that. Because of the primarily because of the connection between Dick Cheney and Halliburton, okay? That's important. Because if you start making laws preventing this company, Halliburton, who has profited so greatly, I'm talking about in the billions of dollars, and I'm going to read those numbers to you later on the show, family, billions of dollars from this Iraq war that took place. If you're going to stop Halliburton from doing what they're doing, then you also have to stop these other companies from outsourcing and doing some of the practices that they do. It ties in together, family, because guess what? Some of these companies looked at what was going on with Halliburton. They said, wow, I can make a dollar like that? Well, let's try it and see. They do what they and what they have done is duplicated what they watched the Halliburton Corporation do on a smaller scale, and they're all making millions. Think about that. Think about that. What y'all think about that, Queen G and Sweet T?
I just want to know, are you saying, like, our hard-working money is going overseas and we buying things, like, they send it back over here? Are we spending our money on it and buying it? That's what you're trying to say?
Yeah, what I'm saying is this. The way, economics, think about this. The way economics goes. No, I'm going to get it. See, the way it goes is this. If you go to work and you make money, right, you're supporting that company by working there, first of all. But if you're a consumer and you're making money and you're spending your dollar, let's just say at Papa John's, okay, well, Papa John's is taking your money, and they're paying somebody in India to make your pizza. You're spending money, giving money to Papa John's, but they're taking that money and they're paying somebody in India and putting the rest in their pockets. And how is that money coming back into the economy? How is it recycled? Because anyone that knows, and I'm not an economist, but anyone that knows and understands money, and I wish some of you economists would call in, should understand that, and guess what? As you send the dollar out, so should it return in order to keep the economy moving. You follow where I'm going?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but this has been going on for years. And especially if you start everything, if you look around your house right now, or go to the store, and correct me if I'm wrong, if we're on the same page, and look around your house right now, or go to the store, whatever, I guarantee you, you start reading your shirt ties or your lamps or your DVDs. It always say made in China.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. Think about it. You know, and right now this country is harping on what's going on with the Toyota car factory. You know, let me tell you something. I think Toyota's taking somewhat of a bad rap on some of this stuff. Now, but I also think that a lot of this crap that's been going on with Toyota's been going on for years. And, you know, as long as they were allowed to get away, it's almost like the military when they send you to another country and say, well, we know you're there, but you don't belong there. But if you get caught doing it, this is what's going to happen. Well, Toyota got caught. And at the end of the day, now the country's turning its back. But I don't think that our government did not know a lot of the things that they're now allowing to come out and come forward. Now, with that being said, let's get back to the point, which is this. Understand this clearly. And I use Papa John's as a basic analogy, but imagine this. Family, your telephone service, Sprint, some of these companies, your cell phones. Have you all ever had a cell phone issue or an issue with some type of service that you're getting and you got on the phone to get some help and guess what? You're talking to La Moon over in India somewhere. And I don't say that to be disrespectful, but I say that to say this. You know, that's terrible because you know what? I'm spending loads of money on my cell phone bill to have that service. And my money is not coming back into the economy that I live in. It's going into the pockets of those people that own Sprint, and it's going over, and some of it, a fraction of it, is going over to India to those folks over there that's working for 5 cents on the dollar or something along that line. That's where I'm going with that. Because the government has allowed them to do that. The government has taken – what has happened is, you know, this didn't – the outsourcing thing didn't really take place or really, didn't really take off until the Iraqi war came about, all right? There were some jobs that were being outsourced, and there were some jobs, some things that were being outsourced to other companies in other countries. But it really picked up steam when Halliburton got on board with Dick Cheney in office and started doing a lot of different contracts and started bidding for so-called bidding for a lot of different things, and all these multi-million-dollar contracts started coming out. And what happened was these companies, like these electrical companies, to give you an example, that were trying to get these contracts that were going over and overseas. And this is also how it's going in Congress. Rather than blow the whistle on what was going on, you know what they said? Listen, I'm not going to blow the whistle because I see an opportunity to make me some money too. These are folks that understand economics and they understand what exactly is going on in our economy. These jobs were being outsourced. So rather than make noise about it, they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to outsource some of our jobs as well. Now, they are not making money on the billions of dollars scale that Halliburton made money on, but what they are doing is they're making millions, billions, and they're keeping their mouth shut about sending these jobs overseas. You follow where I'm going? And the American people are sitting here saying, wow, you know, the economy's bad. I don't have a job, you know, so forth and so on. But no one is paying attention to the one question, where in the hell are your jobs going? What's that about it, Queen G?
This is Queen G talking. I think the bottom line of that whole circle of events that's going on is greed, G-R-E-E-D, mm-hmm. and money, M-O-N-E-Y.
mm-hmm.
And I love it because that's the bottom line of it. People, they're not really, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to somebody making extra money, let me see how I could cut, you know what I'm saying, a break into this area and sell this out so that at the end of the day, the bottom line is going to be more money. You know what I'm saying? It's all about greed and it's all about money. And when it comes mm-hmm. to that, a lot of things and a lot of situations are sold out. They don't care. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
I was listening to that whole point, and what I see out of it is that these countries and these people are greedy, and it's all about money. That's the bottom line of that.
Absolutely. Let me share this with the family, too. These countries have a large, rapidly growing pool of talented people. Whatever is the ultimate impact is what they go with. The next generation of offshore work is what they're calling it. Now, here's the thing, American people. Most Americans are not even aware of the types of high-end work being done in places like India, okay? High-end meaning places, meaning like, okay, let me give you an example. Tax filing preparations, that's being done over there. Medical diagnoses, that's being done over there. Legal work, financial portfolio analysis work, that's being done in India, okay? And for those of you that like to follow where I'm going, you can go to www.whyamericanjobsarebeingsentoverseas. That information is right there for you to read. That's important because these are not just your regular, oh, I'm going to cut your grass type job. These are, high-end jobs. Now, imagine when you go online or when you go to talk to a vet. Matter of fact, I have a dog. I went online to talk to a vet the other day. Guess who I ended up talking to? Somebody over in India. And I was being charged for that. You know what I did? I cut the call. I said, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to take my dog and go to the vet here physically. I didn't want to go with that. And that's why that was one of the things that sparked this show. It was because I realized something. You know what? I'm just looking for answers on the health of my dog. But here I am supporting somebody in India when my money needs to be right here in my economy that I live in. And I use that as a personal example. What you think, sweet tea?
That's a shame. Oof. I feel your pain, Don. I feel your pain.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. Something else the family doesn't know. The types of services being offered are mind-boggling. While these highly skilled professionals currently represent only a thin slice of India's second million tech and business of outsourcing workers, their ranks are growing rapidly, industry experts say. And I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're doing what America has made against the law in this country in a lot of different fields. It's called lowballing. Lowballing means, you know what, if you have a product or a service that you are putting up for a certain price or a certain amount of money, in some fields and in some arenas, it's against the law for someone to come in and underbid you. You understand? If you go in and bid for a government contract, I'm a mediator. When I go in and bid for government contracts on mediations, I cannot go but a certain percentage below the ball in order to get that contract. There's a cutoff and there's a low point. You can't go between. You can't go outside of either one of those to win that contract. Well, what's happening with our jobs is those folks over in India are saying, you know what? There is no regulation here because United States law fits with United States. In other words, those folks over there are unregulated. They can do what they want to do. So they're working for peanuts compared to what we would take those jobs for here. You follow where I'm going? And it is greed. It's selfishness. It's greed. Family is hurting. Because we can sit back and say all day long that we want Obama or we want so-and-so to get this to get our economy straightened out, but we also have to recognize that there are some serious economics at work here. We have to identify that and we have to address that. What you think, Sweet Tea, Queen G?
I just thought this is
first
going
of
all, go ahead.
Don, when you made that statement, you sounded like Obama. No, but it is. I mean, those countries, they don't have as much money in those countries. You know what I mean? Where our regular paid jobs, even minimum wage, is probably triple what they would make minimum wage in their country. So they're willing to take whatever pay they can get to do the job. And mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It's slave labor. It's that slave mentality. but they're doing it nonetheless because for them, it's making them a lot more than what they would be getting now in their country. You know what I'm saying? So that's a part of the problem, too. They're willing to take that under or do more work for whatever pay they're being offered because that they don't have those rates in their country.
Well, you know what? What you say, sweetie?
Don, you did sound like Obama, though.
What you think, sweetie?
I was breaking off and on because I couldn't hear exactly everything.
Uh-huh.
Well, one thing I wanted to say was this been going on for a very long time, long time. And it's just like when it's going to, I'm not trying to be negative or anything, but I mean, like, when it's going to be a difference. I mean, this has been going on too long. Is it possible for help? Is it going to be a change?
Let me tell you something. You know what? I'm going to tell you how it's going to change. It's like Officer A came on here and said, you know what? We have to give it to us, these congressmen. We have to. I mean, and I know business practices are business practices. And I know, and see, a part of that has to do with the fact that family, we live, work, and operate within a capitalist society, which has a lot of different rules that, and they change. They change 100%. I see my family in the blog room chiming up, too. I'm going to read some of these comments. And I see you in the Ebony Storm. But what's happening, family, is that a lot of these folks, these companies, are not being forced to do the right thing by the American people. But I want to say this to you all. Check this out. When the chips were down, and I see and someone mentioned that this has been going on for over 30 years, but when the chips were down,
wow,
and these bankers and some of these, and let me tell you something, everybody hopping on these damn bankers, but I'm going to tell y'all something, family. There's a few other industries out there that got some bailout money that just wasn't made public, like the bankers and the automobile industries. But when these industries were crying and screaming that they were belly up, and they were saying, I see Evan Storm, I apologize. When these folks were crying about being belly up, Congress did not hesitate. They tried to play a game to make it appear as though they were hesitating, but they did not hesitate to tap into the American public and say, we need to bail these people out, okay? And as soon as the tide starts to turn a little bit, guess what they're doing? Sending all of our damn jobs overseas, and we still sitting here supporting the bill with taxes, through our taxpaying dollars, that we have occurred because these folks have sat up here, these monkeys up in Congress, I'm going to call them what they are, these monkeys up in Congress have sat and dug us a hole into by not doing the right thing. Let's do the math on that. Not doing the right thing, this is the equation. And this man right here just made a very important point. America has bailed out several generations of corporations in the past. Interesting. What are these corporations going to bail us out? With that being said, family, I'm going to take a commercial break real fast because, you know what, we got to keep it moving. We got to let some of our indie artists get some of that playtime in. But bear with us on it, family, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to continue to chop it up, and we're going to read some more comments about what's going on in our blog room. All right?
All right.
All right. Let me see. Well, you know what? Hold on. Bear with me for a minute because what I'm going to do is I want to look for an indie artist. Here we go. We'll play this one. Here you go, family.
Chillin' on the porch with a jar of Kool-Aid, ass on the arm, countin' money, yeah, I made a front porch. I'm front porch, 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 I'm front porch. I'm in my old school mode, sippin' fruit punch, we can do lunch if you want. But at the moment, I'm kicking it, though. In the lawn chair, sitting like a midget on the floor. Sippin' with the glow, still feeling like a pro. Get the dose, it's more. When I'm ready, we can move. Chillin' on the porch, with a jar of Kool-Aid. Ass shawty on my arm, countin' money, yeah, I made. I'm front porch, 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 I'm front porch. I'm in my sweatpants, man, trying to get changed. Chillin' like I just left the bank. Had to left by with my homie from the base. All this shit, cause I'm forcing like my feet is concrete. Pimple with the glow, still feelin' like a pro. Get it old, sip more. When I'm ready, we can move. Chillin' on the porch, with a jar of Kool-Aid. Ass on the arm, countin' money, yeah, I made. I'm front porch, 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 I'm front porch. I got my Ray-Bans on, white teed up, Jordans and an ice cream cone. With my Kool-Aid cup full of ice, you know I'm on the bus, they hit them all and come back like, you ain't go. Simple with the glow, still feeling like a pro. Get the dough, sip more, when I'm ready, we can move. Chillin' on the porch with a jar of Kool-Aid. That shorty on my arm, counting money, y'all made. I'm front porch, 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 I'm front porch. With a jar of Kool-Aid, that shawty on my arm, counting money, y'all made. I'm front porch, 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 I'm front porch.
Welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Show. For y'all just tuning in, we're talking about outsourcing. Why and where are, actually, why are so many of our jobs being sent overseas, to put it bluntly? I'm chopping it up with someone in the chat room, Ebon Storm. I'm butchering that name. I know I am. But Storm made it, Mr. or Mrs. Storm made a valid point. I want to put this out to your family, is that China has already began to experience their youth not being willing to work or accept the work at the rates that their parents did back in the day. So it's sort of like a rippling effect with what's going on here in America. And as I mentioned earlier, is that a lot of these jobs that some of these folks that are coming in are taking are jobs that a lot of us don't want to do. And that's starting to become, I think, a rippling effect in the global economy. But the bigger picture, I think, family, is the greedy practices of these companies here in America who in recent years started screaming about, you know, the fact that they were going under and, you know, the American dollars were put into their pockets so that their companies would not go under. But now the flip side is, you know what, we're going to have to pay that bill in taxes, but can we do it if we're unemployed? I mean, I want to keep the conversation simple and keep it moving, but that's the basic gist of it. Now, I'm not going to get technical with it, but that's the truthful basic gist of it. What you think about that, Sweet Tea?
I agree 100%. I'm on the point that I'm on. I can't say nothing on that. I agree on it.
Mm-hmm.
Angie, what you think? Queen G, are you still with us?
Yeah, she with us. She on there. I don't think she heard you, though. Queen G, you want to chime in on some of that? Okay, we'll keep it moving. Here's some other interesting stuff, family. Here's some other interesting facts, okay? Outsourcing is the word I'm talking about, has evoked emotions, great emotions in the past year, prompting presidential candidates and labor groups to decry its practice and economists and chief executives to defend it as a natural progression of the economy. Family, has anyone heard of the global economy, one world economy? What's the word I'm looking for when they talk about the one world economy? Where everything's moving to like $1. And I think this is a major move towards that, because by outsourcing, it's a concept. It's not a new concept. And as our friend Stormy has mentioned, it's been going on for over 30 years. But New World Order, there it is. Thank you, Carla B. New World Order. But here's the thing. Here's where I'm going, family. It's been around. That practice has been around, but not on the scale with the potential devastation that it has over the economy today, is what I'm saying. Yeah, it has been around for quite a while, but not at this magnitude, and especially at a time when the American people need their jobs the most, and that's what's hurting. Now, it's a concept. It's not new. Companies have chased cheap labor around the globe for decades. They've made cars in Mexico. They've made plastic toys in Taiwan, shirts in Malaysia. But in recent years, the effort has crept into high gear and certain income brackets. So what I'm saying is that prior to the recent years, that practice used to be with factory-type jobs or lower-income jobs that were outsourced. But economies have realized, and I think Halliburton led the way, because when they started making billions upon top of billions in those contracts by being connected to those gangsters up in the White House, Gangster Bush and Gangster Cheney, you know, the other companies realized just how much money they could save and started sending more jobs overseas. And speaking of those gangsters, we're going to go into those gangsters and their practices in our very next segment. What you think about that, Sweet Tea?
First of all, I'm tripping off of you keep calling them gangsters. They're really gangsters.
Well, they are gangsters. They are true American gangsters. They are true American gangsters. They came in and set up camp and made their damn rules as they went, and ain't nobody said nothing to them. Why? Because they the president and the vice president, Nobody said nothing because they're scared of it. Guess what? They're gangsters. That's what you call strong-arming.
Wow, so they even gangsters over President Obama, huh?
Oh, well, I mean, you know what? I mean, at the time when he was in the Senate, yeah, but now he's the president. But at the end of the day, they took 8 years and they made billions on top of billions. And I'm glad you're talking about that because I'm getting ready to put out a few more facts and I'm going to bust out with some of the things that have been going on with Halliburton and Mr. Dick Cheney. It's unclear how many accounting It's unclear how many accounting, engineering, technical support, and other professional jobs have actually moved offshore in recent years. But some industry watchers believe that as many as 200,000 service jobs are lost each year for the next 11 years. Okay? For the next 11 years. Here's a poll that was taken. It said they want to, and for those of you that want to know where I'm reading this information from, you can go to outsourcing long-term effects on this on our economy. Just put it in your browser, and this information will come up for you. There are some outsourcing polls that were out about jobs being outsourced. 11% of the folks think that it'll help. 79%, 80%, I'm just going to say 80% because it says 79.9, says it'll hurt. 9.1% says it will be a toss-up. 700 people voted in that poll. But here's the deal for the families out there. Personally, and let me just put this out before we go there, too. The Boeing company, Boeing, they're one of the number one contributors to that outsourcing deal, too, family, just so we know. Storm is really chopping it up. Boeing, the Boeing company that builds airplanes. Because you remember back in the day, Boeing was shutting down factories and shutting down places where they were building some of their planes. What's happened is we thought they were going away. They're outsourcing. And I'm going to put some more companies on the plate. Target, let's go with Target. Y'all remember, Best Buy, Kmart.
Shut down.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you something. With these companies that I'm naming right now, Kmart, especially Best Buy, and even in Radio Shack, let me tell you what they're doing, family. If y'all notice that what they're doing is this. Some of the places that they have owned businesses, some of the shops, actual physical places of business, are starting to shut down. What they're doing is they're switching over to what they're calling internet buying, right? But now here's the way that works. They're computerizing everything, and they're saying, okay, you can still buy the same products, but we want you to shop online, and what we're going to do is we're going to mail it to you when you buy it, okay? Great idea, because it's comfortable for everybody. You can stay at home, and you can shop your butt off, and you don't have to go out in the store and work your feet walking around all day, right? Great. Check it out. Who you think you're buying from? You're buying from those folks over in India and China and those other places that are operating on the other side of that computer who are getting paid to sit there and basically coordinate and send you what you're buying right here in this country.
Well, why can't it be like that in the outsource this way? That's what I don't understand.
But see, because here it is, Storm answers your question. The reason that these things are happening is because of corporate greed that require a company to make 4% profit every year continuously for years. Storm, you sound like an economist. You need to call in, brother. Let me send you that phone number so we can get you on the line.
I want to learn some more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for those of you that do want to call in, that number is 718-664-6543. I'm going to tell you something, family. I don't know about the rest of the family out here, but I'm going to say this to you. It pains me to see this because not only is this an issue for our economy, but you know what? One of the things that we talk about on this show a lot is child support. Understand me clearly. A lot of folks out there that are dealing with child support issues that are unable to find jobs because there are no jobs. But let me explain this to you, and I'm tying this all in together, is that, you know what, just because you can't find a job does not mean that you're not going to have to pay your child support. Understand me clearly. When they're sending all these jobs, lower-paying jobs or common jobs, as we would call them, overseas. That's the problem. And that's why this angry, that's another aspect of why this subject really just climbs up under my skin, and it should anger you. It should anger you to the point where everybody that's in the sound of my voice should sit your butts down, write a letter to your congressman. If you don't know who he is, put your zip code in your computer and say, hey, ask your computer to tell you who is your congressman, and write those clowns a letter. Because I'm going to tell you something. When they had the opportunity to put a stop to what those gangsters were doing, they didn't do it. Speaking of those gangsters, Go ahead and give us a comment, Sweet T, because I'm going to pull that information up on those gangsters real quick, because we need to go and chop that up.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, okay, for the ones who are on child support, for the ones who don't have a job, they have to pay child support, correct me if I'm wrong, do they go to jail?
Yes, absolutely.
Even the, what?
Yes, you still go to jail.
You mean to tell me, I know we've been talking about child support quite a lot, but I don't know if I touched on this when I wanted to ask you, Foss, what I'm asking you now. So you mean to tell me, even though, you know, everything is messed up right now and they can't find a decent job to work at, they still go to jail?
That's right. You're still going to jail. We got a call on the line, too, Sweet T. Let me get this call in online, but we're going to go back to that question. Yes, ma'am, they sure do. Call on the line, 510. You're on the line. Go ahead.
This is Evan Stone from the chat room. How are you doing?
I'm sorry. I'm doing great. Hey, caller, you're breaking up. Do me a favor. Hang up and dial the number again, and I'll bring you back in because your phone is static, or can you clear it up?
I'll try and call you back.
Okay, call me right back.
All right.
But anyway, while he's calling back, family, let me put something out there for you by Halliburton. And I'm just going to start with what the facts are that's here. For those of you that want to follow me through this, go to the Halliburton Watch, www.com, Halliburton Watch, and some of these things are going to come up for you, okay? 1992, Halliburton subsidiary, Brown & Root, were paid $9 million by the Pentagon under Dick Cheney's direction as Secretary of Defense to produce a classified report detailing how private companies like itself could provide logistical support for American troops in potential war zones around the world. Shortly after this report, the Pentagon awarded Brown & Root a five-year contract to provide logistics for the U.S. Army and Corps of Engineers. The General Accounting Office estimates that through this contract, Brown & Root made an overall amount of $2.2 billion in revenue, okay? In revenue.
Okay, how much?
$2.2 billion. This was in 1992, okay? 1992.
Wow.
And this was under Dick Cheney's rule with his guiding hand as the Secretary of Defense, okay? He wasn't even in the White House yet as the second in command. In 1995, okay, without any previous business experience, Cheney left the Department of Defense to become the CEO. This is after he allowed that contract to go through. He left the Department of Defense and became the CEO of the Halliburton Company, one of the biggest oil services companies in the world. He went on to become the chairman of the company in 1996 until October of 1998, from February to August of 2000. Under Dick Cheney's leadership, Halliburton moved up from 73rd to 18th on the Pentagon's list of top contractors. Okay, so much for outside bidding. You follow where I'm going, family? Which almost doubles the $1.2 billion it earned from the government previously as one of their top contractors. Let me bring that caller back on the line. See if he's clear with his phone yet.
Okay.
All right, 510. You're on the line.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, we can. Appreciate you calling, sir.
Good, good. All right, go on with Halliburton.
You want me to go on with Halliburton? Okay.
You're already dogging them. We might as well go ahead and complete the picture because they're a terrible company.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you. All right, now, the company, Halliburton, family, that information right there comes from 1995, okay? And again, I mentioned that prior to Dick Cheney's involvement directly with Halliburton, they were number 73 on the contractors list with the government. That's huge because I'm going to tell you something, family, to get within the top 100 is a blessing. They were 73rd and moved up to 18th on the Pentagon's contract list. That's huge. Most of the contracts are granted by the U.S. Corps of Engineers. Halliburton's overseas operations go from 51% to 68% of its revenue. Follow what I'm saying, family? In other words, where they were in position 73rd, 51% of their revenue came from contracts that they had established with the government. Now, when they moved up, 68% of their revenue came from the government. Family, follow the numbers, please, because I'm going to tell you something. When I say the fleecing of America, these gangsters took over. These gangsters took over, and they did it in plain sight, in plain view, and they did it without obstruction from our so-called congressional members. Now, according to the Center for the Public Integrity, under Cheney's leadership, the company also received another $1.5 billion worth of assistance from the government-sponsored agencies such as OPIC, Overseas Private Investment Corporations, and the Export-Import Bank, a huge increase compared to the $100 million that the company had received in federal loans guarantees in the 5 years prior to Mr. Cheney's arrival. Okay? Go ahead with your comment, caller.
Oh, no. You're already enlightening us with Halliburton. All those corporations make their money because people are unaware of what they do. Most people don't understand that mega corporations do not own your congressional leaders, but they lobby them regularly. And by lobbying them, they go to Congress, they go to the Senate, they meet with them behind closed doors and say, if you pass this law that allows us to do these things, we will in turn ensure that the next time you need money for your opportunity to vote for you in office, we'll be able to provide you with a decent amount of money on a regular basis. That's why that recent law by the Supreme Court that said that corporations would no longer be limited to how much money they could give to their representatives is actually a travesty, because it basically means now there really is no limit to what a corporation could buy. So a corporation with deep pockets can simply say, we'll provide you with any amount of money you need to run for office, period. That's a crime.
Yes, sir, and I agree with you 1,000,000%, sir. Speaking of millions, let's talk about some more of these millions of dollars that they've made. Family, we haven't even started scratching the surface. For those of you computer whiz and for those of you mathematicians out there, when I say that this company has made billions on top of billions, believe me, the information that I'm providing for you hasn't even scratched the surface. I go from 1998 to 1999 to 2000 to 2001 to 2002, and these are huge contracts each year that this company has been awarded up in the billions and billions of dollars. It's so much money, family, I'm not even going to be able to. If I sat here and quoted and read this for the rest of the show, I would be reading until the show is over. So I'll chime in from time to time with different things about the company as we go. But it goes all the way up to 2002, 2003, 2004, every single year. Now imagine, family, what has been going on is that Mr. Cheney, who I'm going to say is our number one gangster, because Bush is just a follower, family. Let's just keep it real. George Bush, in my opinion, is probably the dumbest president we've ever had. I saw the man on one occasion trying to tie his shoelaces when he was out here at the G6 summit when I was a law enforcement officer. This was behind the cameras. He had a hard time, family. Believe me when I tell you. I think Bush is the dumbest president that we've ever had. Now, with that being said, I'm just telling you like it is. Dick Cheney was so-called the vice president, but family, let me tell you something. He is the American gangster. Let me tell you, thousands of employees of Halliburton are working alongside U.S. troops in Kuwait and Turkey under a package deal worth close to $1 billion. KBR is also supporting operations in Afghanistan, Georgia, Jordan, and several other Eastern Bloc countries. All of this is connected to Halliburton. We're talking about security forces. We're talking about training forces. We're talking about top secret things that are going on with our government.
Like Blackwater. Blackwater is one of those troops.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Blackwater is definitely one of them. And here's the deal. Family, what you need to know about this is that most of the services that Halliburton and some of these other companies like Blackwater are providing have traditionally been military-only functions, such as logistical things that go on with the inner workings of military operations. They have allowed private companies to come in and to monopolize and to capitalize off of military operations, jobs and functions that were traditionally done by soldiers that were on the ground fighting in these wars, and all under the name of proficiency. Go ahead,
CT. And to be fair, even worse than that, those jobs used to be provisioned by soldiers, and they were paid pennies. You know,
that's
right.
Soldiers
don't make any money. I want you to know,
that's right.
I'm ex-military. Soldiers don't make money. So when you look at how much money that they're paying these Blackwater operatives, you could bring 1,000 soldiers for what they pay 10 Blackwater operatives. That's how much money these guys are making.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And check this out, family. In September of 2003, our favorite gangster, Mr. Cheney, let me give a quote. And since I left Halliburton to become George Bush's vice president, I have severed all my ties with the company, Halliburton, gotten rid of all my financial interests. I have no financial interest with Halliburton of any kind and haven't had now for over 3 years. But the vice president conveniently forgot to mention that he continues to receive from the company a deferred salary of over $150,000 a year while maintaining $433,333 shares of unexercised stock options in the company. Now, the last time I checked, the government had this clause up there that said conflict of interest. That's the correct conflict of interest. Okay, I'm tongue-tied. Conflict of interest, okay? Now, family, follow me through with this. Conflict of interest means this, plain and simple. If you are involved in a certain, let's just say, a certain skill, a certain company agency, you can't in turn go and work for the government and then market that skill with that company through to the government ahead of other contractors and persons that will bid for that particular job. That's called conflict. If you work for the government, but you used to work for this company, and now all of a sudden this company is receiving all of these awards, benefits, moving up on the ladder and getting all these billion-dollar contracts, that's a huge conflict of interest. Do you not know that people have gone to jail for doing that? Look at Ralph Nader. Is that the guy that got hit up up in Wall Street for stealing all that money from those people? Some of the things that he did was related to that. Guess what? He's in jail now. People are going to jail over there. But guess what? Our number one gangster, Dick Cheney, didn't happen. What you think about that, caller?
Well, you know, I want everybody to remember, I'm not a racist. I do not believe that one has to be a racist to understand that racism exists. What I do know is that we have two justice systems, we have two financial systems, and both of those systems are run by the people with money. So if you're poor, you're going to jail. If you are rich, you're not. If you are in the government, you're making money. If you're not, you're not. Simple as that. I always tell people, follow the money. Whenever you doubt that something is legal, follow the money. Odds are, if no one else is making money but this guy, he's doing something illegal.
Mm-hmm. What you think, Sweetie?
Well, I agree with all of you, because I feel that if you're rich, feel like what you just said, Don, what's the name of the one who went to jail? Get all those people for their money. What's the thing?
Yeah, when you have a conflict of interest. I mean, people, there are laws. There are trading laws. There are laws in this country that govern those types of things. That's what you're talking about, Sweet Tea?
Yeah, and I was, what the caller was saying, like, following the money, and if he's the person, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, caller, he's like, following the money, if he's making more money than everybody else, he must not be doing something right. Right? That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I mean, whenever you look at, I mean, insider trading, do you know why insider trading is a crime? Insider trading is a crime because what it says is, I'm taking advantage of knowledge of something that Joe Blow X does not have. So not
That's
only
right.
do I make money, but I will make a huge sum of money. I will make so much more money than the guy who doesn't know, he doesn't have that inside connection. That happens far more often than most people are comfortable knowing about. If you knew how often insider trading took place, you might never trust your bank again. You might never trust any financial institution again because most of them make a huge amount of their money off of your ignorance.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Off of your ignorance. $41 billion was made this year in banking fees. $41 billion were made in banking fees, meaning banks charged you $41 billion nationwide for fees that you probably didn't need and probably didn't know about.
That's right. That's right. And they got mad with Obama because he came in and made some rules, which, speaking of, you know, it was put in my ear, too, and I'm glad you brought that up, Carla, because I'm going to say this to you, too, family. I want to take my hat off to our president because I'm going to tell y'all something. If you watch what's going on in Congress, This man is trying to put a dent in some of this old school politicking that's going on. Some of the things this caller's talking about and a lot of things that I'm talking about right now that these gangsters have put into place. Family, it's important for everyone to realize this. It took this country 8 years to get to this point under the rule and the regime of George Bush and gangster aide Mr. Cheney. Now, it's going to take some time to get out of it. For all those folks out there that are looking at our president and saying, hey, when is this going to change, let me explain to you something. Those greedy politicians that are in place right now and served under George Bush and Dick Cheney made money. Now, they know that it's coming to an end, or at least that there are some changes that are trying to come about. It takes time. It takes exactly. It takes time, and it takes maneuvering. Mr. Obama is one man. Understand this clearly. Pay attention to what's going on, family. Some of those Democrats that supported him when he got into office kind of figured, well, I don't know, maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. But now that this stuff is coming to light, this man is standing behind what he said, some of those folks, those very same folks, have jumped off the bandwagon. And that's why you see a lot of them retiring, because they know the change is coming. But they're going to fight it. They're going to fight it because they're still making money. So with that being said, family, I need for you to understand one thing. It's going to take time. Don't blame this mess on our president, because he had nothing to do with this. He came from the same salt of the earth background that a lot of us came from. Go read his book about his life story. I read it. I read it before he even decided he was going to become a run for president. I read that book, and I had no idea that this man had come from such humble beginnings. He was not one of the aristocratic rich folks that they tried to paint him out to be at one point. He is a common man that has been given an uncommon position in our government. So we need to understand that. And with that being said, family, recognize one thing. It's a battle going on up there. And, you know, and one of the things, and I applaud Mr. Obama for not standing straight up and saying, you know what, this is what's going on, and exposing a lot of this, because that's not his job. His job is to fight and move, maneuver through this stuff as best he can. It's up to us as the American people to recognize what's going on and give him a hand and vote some of those congressional clowns out of office so that we can give this man the assistance that he needs. Right? What you think about that?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me put this out there. Oh, we're not finished yet, because I got some shit on George Bush too. Now, trust me, I'm gonna tell y'all something.
No,
I'm gonna really
hold it. That's what I wanted to get you to before I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush Jr. is not just the problem. George Bush Sr. Matter of fact, the Bushes in general. If I
told
you that the Bushes were profiteers from as far back as World War II, profiteers, meaning they made money sponsoring warfare. They made
money
ensuring that weapons of war were made, and they made money on here's the kicker. They made money on both sides of the war. They sold munitions to both the Nazis and the Allies.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been playing and profiteering from war since World War II. So this war in Iran and Iraq, I hate to say it, this is simply business as usual.
As usual. That's right. And you know what, family?
Money profiting off of war.
That's right. And you know what, family? I'm going to take what this caller just said a step further. Let me tell you something. What a lot of you all don't know is a little secret. Let me tell you something. One of the things that they traded with those folks for arms and all these other different things they worked with, it wasn't just for money. It was for oil, which translates into money, of course, but it was for oil and certain mineral rights and things along those lines. Now, understand me clearly. That's what it was for, and that's what it was about. And the Bushes have been in business for a very, very long time. But we're going to grill the Bushes in a minute. Oh, yes, sir. Let me put this out there. In January of 2004, Halliburton began an advertisement campaign to improve its tarnished image with the public. A television spot running on CNN says Halliburton supplies hot meals, laundry, and telephone links for soldiers in Iraq. The ad shows a man in the desert camouflage holding a phone with his lips trembling and shouting, "It's a girl," proud to serve our troops, as an announcement that Halliburton put out there. The Pentagon reports that Halliburton Company would repay the government for overcharges estimated to the amount of $27.4 million for meals served to American troops at five military bases in Iraq and Kuwait the year previously. In one military camp in July 2003, KBR billed the government for an average of 42,000 meals a day, but only served 14,000 meals. Pentagon auditors found the overcharges during a routine audit of Halliburton. Okay? Halliburton. Now, here's where I'm going with this, family. The fleecing of America. That's why before we began this show, I said, I want you to keep in mind, this country has been thoroughly fleeced by the gangsters of the Bush administration. Speaking of Mr. Bush, while y'all comment on that, I'm going to go ahead and pull up Mr. Bush's legacy. Go ahead, sweet tea, caller.
You said you did a little research.
Well, you know what it is? This information is not, I mean, here's the catch. Mm-hmm. The media systems that take place in America today are all under the control of big business. So there's only five media companies that actually run all the media in the U.S. Five. So whenever you think you're looking at some news that looks independent or free, know that it isn't. You just have to tunnel deep enough to find which corporate master they are beholden to. So there is no news that happens that isn't responsible or controlled by or run by someone who has an agenda of one form or another. So the news that he's reading from, these things generally appear in publications that are not mainstream, or if they do appear in a mainstream publication, the information is watered down and liquidated so that you don't hear or don't understand what's really being said. I mean, that's just so common now. So that your news is a news vehicle, it doesn't tell you anything. Most of us get hung up on the idea that Pookie murdered Elric 2 days ago in a local neighborhood news, and that actually gets 10 or 15 minutes. When Megacorporation X steals $40 billion this year, that gets 10 seconds.
Wow.
That's news. That's the stuff you should be hearing about and should be incensed over. But instead, they convince you that local crime, because crime is fear-inducing, and fear keeps you in your home, and fear keeps you playing your games and drinking your booze and watching your movies and not paying attention to how big corporations have basically stolen everything you own from under your nose right while you were watching them. They just told
That's
you something
right.
different. Who are you going to believe, you or your lying eyes?
Woo, stop. Sweet tea, what's up? What you think about that, sweet tea?
I thought I can't even get the words out. I thought I was the one who always sound like I'm preaching. You did that, caller. I agree with you on that one. And the sad part about it is it's very scary. It's real scary that people don't see that until you bring it to, you know, my attention. I can speak for myself. You know, I know a lot of things and everything, but you learn something new every day. And you're right. That is very scary, what you just wrote down.
Well, you know what, and I'm going to tell you something. You know, and that chimes into a lot of what we talk about here on the shows, is that getting in touch with these congressmen, staying on abreast of what's going on. But you know something? It's a tool. It's a tool. Ignorance is a powerful tool. And when people don't know, and when they don't want to know, and when we get inundated with this news about Tiger Woods and all these other shameful things that's going on in the community, let me tell y'all something, family, and I'm going to put it out there since I mentioned his name, and I'm going to give you an example of what our caller was just saying. Tiger Woods did a bad thing. Yes, he did. Slap him on his wrist and send him on back to the golf room. At the end of the day, John Edwards did a horrific thing. His wife was dying. His wife was trying to cling to life, treatments, and still trying to be by his side. This man went out, brought another child into the world, and then on top of that, tried to pay somebody to lie and say, oh, this is your baby. And then on top of that, tried to hide the fact, even after it was. And this man, let me tell y'all, this man is one of those congressional clowns that we like to talk about up in Congress, making all these laws and rules. Has anybody heard as to whether or not this man has stepped down from his position? Because as far as I'm concerned, I don't even know if he's even giving up his position. Tiger Woods took a leave of absence. But we want to beat him over the head. We want to beat him over the head and say, hey, X, Y, and Z. It's a ploy, family. It's a ploy. They distract you with some of the most meaningless things out there. Gay marriages, homosexuality. All these things have no place in politics. You understand?
That's
no place. What they need to be talking to you about is what Sweet Tea mentioned earlier about how some of these districts are shutting down half of the schools, how some of these school teachers are getting fired under the table. And one of the biggest practices of all, family, let me just put this out there. What some of these companies are doing while they're outsourcing your jobs is some of our glorious states in our union operate under what's called no fault. In other words, at-will hiring practices. So when these companies know that they're about to downsize. What they'll do is they'll send your unsuspecting butt to a place like Georgia, and then once you come to Georgia, you can be fired for any reason, regardless of how many years you spent with the company. You're no longer entitled to certain things. I know people that have spent 19 and 20 and 30 years with companies. All of a sudden, they got transferred here. The company starts to downsize. They get a letter saying, hey, we don't want you here anymore. And in the state of Georgia, we don't have to give you a reason. We can just let you go. It's called at-will hiring. You understand, family? It all ties in. It's a ploy. It all ties in to one thing. Guess what? This is how these companies are doing business. And if you get distracted, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get caught up, and you're going to get steamrolled. What do you think about that, Sweet Tea?
Wait, it's going to happen more, too. Don't think that it's not, because I'm
going to tell you a secret
about big corporations. Big corporations, I told you, every year they have to make 2 to 4% profit. But anybody that's been watching anything in nature knows that certain things grow to a certain size, and then they stop growing. They just do. They grow to the size that they are naturally supposed to be, and then they stop. Okay?
Wow.
So as a result, otherwise you would be 9 or 10 feet tall and eventually drop dead at the age of 35. So our bodies grow to the size they're supposed to be and then stop. And there's a reason for that, because nature needs room. Nature requires that things grow, they live, and eventually they die. But corporations want to be immortal. And they become immortal with this false sense of we can continue to sustain growth at 2 to 4% every year forever and ever and ever. And nature will not, cannot support that. Everything that you do has a price. Corporations don't understand that. So when they need to make a profit, the most expensive thing in their repertoire is people. So they fire people so they can show profit at the end of the year. If you ever notice, most corporations fire people in the last quarter of the year. Why? So that when their quarter closes, they look like they've made a profit. That profit isn't real, but it looks like a profit on paper. And they can show to their board of directors that we've made a profit. However, what that usually means is anywhere from 500 to 5,000 people lose their jobs, may or may not get them back. It depends on how the corporation feels in the next year. They may decide, well, you know, we got rid of 5,000 people, and we can still do what we do. So what happens? You used to have three people that worked with you. Then there was two. Then the next year they don't make a profit, and then there's one. But they don't get rid of those jobs. They give them to you. They say to you, hey, well, you know, those other two guys, we're not going to replace them, but we still need their jobs to get done. Guess who's going to do those jobs? You are. Are you going to get any more money? No. Are you going to get any raise? No. Are you going to get extra time off? No. They're going to work you to death. And when they're tired of you, or when they get tired of not making a profit, they'll fire you too and move that whole department to India.
Yes, sir. Call it outsourcing. Yeah. There you go. Sweet Tea, you want to comment on that? Because I'm getting ready to throw some stuff out there by Mr. Bush. Okay, you ready? Here you go, family. Go ahead, baby.
I wanted to talk about, finish the statement on teachers as far as, and then the caller said you're getting no time off and all this stuff. But I picked up my daughter, like, from school the other day, and me and her teacher is real close. We talk about everything. I call her and everything. My daughter's in first grade. And when I picked my daughter up, she was like, well, you know, it's no school Monday. I'm like, why? Was it a holiday? So it went over my head because I don't remember no holidays, you know, being said. And she was like, no, it's just a teacher day off. I don't know why they gave us this. It's just a teacher day off, and, you know, we ain't going to get paid for it.
Furloughs.
We taking this day off. We ain't going to get paid for it. So, and then I run to her, and I'm saying to myself as I walk to the car, I was like, you know, I said, that's just a sneaky way from them easily probably finna fire some of these teachers up there. You know, all of a sudden they taking days off. They don't even know why they getting the day. They just making up anything now. And then they don't even get paid for it. It's sad, you know?
But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You know what? And that's, you know what? Here's the thing. When you talk about those furloughs and government things, so forth and so on, you know, and I agree with a lot of what our caller, matter of fact, everything this caller's saying, because what I think the family also needs to pay attention to is this. It's like the banks that cry wolf. Oh, the economy's bad. Things are going. Let me tell you something. It's never as bad, I think, as it sounds or as it seems. That's why a lot of them are giving that money, some of that, a lot of that money back. Okay? They cry wolf and take money away from these folks and some of these jobs just to make a bigger penny somewhere else. And that's exactly what's going on. With that being said, Let me put some information out there about Gangsta Number Two, American Gangsta Number Two. You know, they came out with a movie and you know, American Gangsta. But I'm gonna tell y'all something, family. When you look at some of what Bush and Cheney were doing in the White House, and like I said again, George Bush, I think, couldn't even tie a shoestring. Cheney ran the show. So let me just put that out there. He was the godfather of all this. There's an organization called the Center for Public Integrity. It's a nonprofit investigative journalism group. Let me tell y'all something, family. They got to looking into what Mr. Bush had done for the last 8 years. And they came up as a result with over 250 administration failures and screw-ups. They noted that this was a record for any American president. I'm going to say that one more time. They came up with over 250 administration failures and screw-ups for Mr. George W. Bush Jr., which set an obvious record for administration screw-ups for any American president that there ever has been. That puts Mr. Bush in the running to be the worst president that we've ever had. And I'm going to give you all some of his screw-ups. Among some of these troubling things, there was topping the list was a so-called entitlement, was the 806,000 American veterans who had the gall to file disability claims and then raise hell when these claims fell into an administration black hole where they remain to this day unprocessed. Now, that's huge because I'm going to say this to you, family. What they're saying is that they looked into the Bush administration. We have 806,000 American veterans, the same folks that are over there fighting in their war in Iraq. This is why we had a show the other day on American veterans and how they're treating us. And I guarantee you, a large portion of this number are your African American veterans. But these veterans came back from the wars past and filed claims on disabilities and issues that they were having. And guess what the George Bush administration did? They swept that shit under the rug, and they said, you know what? It's not happening. And some of those claims to this very day are not being processed by the Veterans Administration. Those veterans out there that are suffering from things that have happened to them in the military while they serve our country overseas are still suffering and not getting compensated for by the government. And this is what started under George Bush's regime. All right. The irony here is that most of the men and women who qualified for these payments did so as a result of injuries sustained in fighting in the war that George Bush started in the first place for oil in Iraq. Okay? He sent them over there so they get screwed up, messed up, maimed, and all the above. And then when they came back and said, hey, I did my duty. Can I get paid? He said, no, screw you. I'm not going to give it to you. Imagine that. Which some of you would like to guarantee, a fact which you would think would guarantee them the benefits that they're due when they came back for fighting in this war. The sad fact is that the Bush administration apparently felt no loyalty to these men and women. If they had, this situation never would have existed. Apparently, an administration's warped way of thinking, the injuries sustained by these brave men and women were their problem, and there was no solution to it. Here's another one. The attitude of callous indifference carried over as well to the 760,000 American citizens who filed for Social Security disability in this country, filed for Social Security disability, only to find that their claims have been ignored. Here, too, as in the case of the vets in the Bush administration felt no responsibility to help these people to obtain their benefits benefits that they felt that they would do. Now, I say that to say this to you, family. Those 760,000 claims still to this day have not been processed. And I say that feverishly because guess what? The Obama administration has come into office and they are processing new claims and some of the old claims. So those numbers have doubled, tripled, in some places quadrupled, if any of you understand what I'm saying. What you think about that, Carla? What you think about that, sweetie?
Carla, you have anything to say before I jump in? Well, I guess.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I always have something to say.
Okay.
I'm ex-military. I absolutely
okay.
have something
wow.
to say. How
mm-hmm.
dare you sit here? You sent those people to Iraq and Iran under false pretenses, under
That's
the
right.
supposed idea that a terrorist action that, I hate to say, we cannot confirm, we cannot prove, we have had no true evidence of how these planes managed to do what they do, where they did it, how they did it, and there's just so much controversy around that. Then you want to look at the mobilization of an armed force in a country where we are waging, quote-unquote, a war with an army that doesn't wear a uniform. How do you have a war with an army that doesn't have a uniform? Wars are supposed to be something that everybody actually participates in, right? I mean, we're at war. You put on a uniform, we put on a uniform, and we attempt to resolve an issue, whether it be territory, whether it be space, whether it be financial largesse that needs to be redressed. War is supposed to be a solution to a problem that you have tried to solve diplomatically and failed. I don't ever remember interacting with anybody diplomatically there. And then all I hear is, we're going to war, and we sent troops over there. And the only thing that we seem to be getting out of it is territory that has oil on it. So what exactly should I be concerned, or what should I think? We're fighting for what? We didn't ever declare war on the enemy. We don't have any suits. We bombed the hell out of five or six cities, but we didn't actually say why we were doing it. Oh, weapons of mass destruction. Oh, you mean the weapons of mass destruction that we never found?
That you never found.
Ever?
That's right.
We didn't even find so much as a slingshot? So my whole thing was we didn't find anything there. So we went to war under false pretenses for false reasons, and companies, Halliburton, getting rich.
Yes, sir.
Not just rich, filthy rich. Okay? Filthy rich. And we actually have no evidence one way or the other why we're there. And then you have the nerve after I go there, get shot at, get blown up, IEDs, sand fleas, disgusting crap, having people shooting at me for years, sending me back in multiple rotations because these people got to come home, then they got to go back, then they got to come home, and they got to go back. You do this three or four times, and then when I get injured, you tell me, oh, well, I'm so sorry for you.
That's right.
What kind of monstrous nonsense is that? So, yeah, I have something to say about that.
That's our gangsters. That's our two favorite gangsters that this country doesn't want to acknowledge. Sweet Tea, what you think?
Well, I just want to say, as far as Bush, Don, if you've seen the man who came, I mean, like, my what I'm trying to say on that, though, is people need to be more careful who we vote for. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know how he even got that far in the White House. If the man couldn't tell his doggone shoe.
Yeah, he stole some votes down in Florida because you know his brother was the governor down there, so they kind of lean in direction. Now I'm not gonna say that about our good people in Florida, our brothers and sisters down there, our Seminoles and all that above. But I'm gonna just say it to you like this: we know they stole your votes. We know they did it. So that's all I'm gonna say about that. There were here's some more facts too. Check this out. Top in the list was a 12.5 billion dollar taxpayer dollars foolishly squandered on the Joint Civilian Military Weather Satellite, which, while it enriched its developers, you know what company I'm talking about, right? And the company selected to build it, as of what I'm reading, that satellite is still incomplete and non-functioning. This was co-signed under the Bush era. They paid somebody $12.5 billion. You know, and then they got the nerve to say, hey, listen, we're going to stand on the necks and backs of these folks out here that owe child support money because, you know, we want to lessen the burden for the taxpayers. But we're going to lessen the burden on this end, but we're going to screw you on the other end and take your money and go build some old satellites and some other equipment that, matter of fact, we don't even know is going to work. Matter of fact, let's just walk away from it. Think about that, $12.5 billion. Imagine what could have been done with those folks in Katrina. Those folks in Katrina, the Katrina catastrophe, who still cannot find their families to this day. There are still families out there that cannot find their loved ones because of this catastrophe. They're still down there rebuilding, and they're still down there screwing some of those people out of the land that they own. Okay? Check it out. Then, of course, we cannot forget about the $4 billion tax dollars already wasted on the National Security Administration's computer system, a system which has never operated the way it was designed to do, and it will further expenditures unless, of course, the project is abandoned the way the $100 million attempt by the FBI to create a new system of the internal information sharing in the wake of the 9/11 was. In other words, the FBI also screwed away $100 million trying to connect, so to speak, the dots on how to make information sharing much easier. They started a project, and they walked away from it after $100 million had already been spent on it. This was under the Bush administration. When the Bush administration wasn't handing out blank checks to corporate loyalists for harebrained ventures, let me tell you what they were doing. They were completely endeavoring on failed and miserable mishaps, like such as the ones that I'm giving to you now, family. What do you think about that, Carla?
Well, you know, I work in IT. Yeah, I know. So when they were talking about how they were going to build a new infrastructure, I laughed. I fell over laughing because I've been doing IT for 27 years. So I actually been doing this a long time. Most of the people they have running their IT departments are college graduates. And there's nothing wrong with a college graduate. I mean, they taste good on, you know, with fava beans and a nice Chianti. But am I going to give them $100 million and tell them to build me a secure internet system or a secure networking system? Am I going to tell them to take four or five already existing systems, the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, and then the new Homeland Security Agency, and then tell them I'm going to connect all four of these systems, which all use different hardware, all use different software, all use different means of doing things, and then say at the end of the day that they're going to be able to integrate all of those systems effectively, cost effectively, in 3 years, because they said they had a 3-year window, and that it was supposed to work the first time when most of the people who are doing this infrastructure development have never built a network of that size before, ever. Not even on paper. So they were doomed from the start. And yet not a single one of their IT service expeditions that they've built since George Bush was in office have ever worked.
Yes, sir. And that's exactly where I'm going. Yes, sir. What you say, Sweet Tea?
I say, are you serious? It never worked.
Never. Yeah, they are still not working. They're still working from their legacy equipment that they all had before they got started with the new idea of linking them together, which was a miserable idea in the first place. It should have never happened. They should have found a the problem has nothing to do with the hardware. The problem has to do with the agencies. These agencies have never shared data. What made anybody think that today they're going to share data? The FBI looks at certain things a certain way. The CIA looks at things a certain way. The National Security Agency looks at things a certain way. Homeland Security looks at things in a different way.
Each
one of them is looking at different things. So, no, not only they're not going to share information well, but most of the time they're not even speaking the same language. They're not even looking at the same language. These agencies have been around for 50 years. They have nothing in common except that they're all secret three-letter agencies that don't play well together. That's all they say.
They don't even speak the same language. Wow.
He's telling it like it is, you know, and he's telling it like it is, you know. Exactly. I mean, 100%. Let me put something else out there for you, family. Here's a real kicker right here. One of the areas to suffer the most from this policy, from the Bush administration, policies of the Bush administration, was the environment. Now, you should know that respect for the environment is right up there with entitlements for conservatives on the list of things that they would like to eliminate as it stands in the way of unchecked profit. For this reason, It was not that surprising to see a two-thirds drop-off in the cleanup of toxic waste sites during the Bush years, nor was it to learn that unchecked pollution is now known to be responsible for over 20,000 deaths a year, while placing as many as 60,000 newborns at risk for pollution-related neurological programs. Additionally, this hands-off attitude towards the corporations and the war, the Iraq war, that they do business has resulted in over 2.5 million toxic toys being recalled to date, most of them for lead or chemical content higher than is permissible by law in this country. Now, in most instances, these products would have been caught prior to their distribution. That is if the Bush administration had done it the way that it was supposed to have been done through the safety inspectors. Now, with that being said, family, I'm not going to go through all 250 of George Bush's administrative screw-ups while he was in the presidency, but I will put it out there and say this to you, family. Go to George Bush, www.georgebushscrewups, and it'll come up for you, family. And I want you all to read that because it is very, very interesting. And once again, this is so screwed up. I would have to extend this show for an additional 2 hours in order to go through all of the screw-ups because, like I said, 250 of them have been found. So with that being said, I'm gonna give our caller an opportunity to give some final comments, and I want to thank him for chiming in. I know he's called in before. I recognize that voice because I don't forget a voice. But I want to give him an opportunity to give us some final thoughts. Then, Sweet Tea, we're going to go with you, and then I'm going to put something on it. Go ahead, caller.
All right, well. My name is Evan Storm. I've probably been here at least once. I tend to visit the shows that actually talk about stuff that's actually meaningful. So since you talk about meaningful stuff, that's why I showed up. Now we were talking.
I appreciate.
If you listen to BTR like I do, and you see BTR like I do, you know most of the talk shows here really ain't talking about nothing. So
that's true.
The things that we need to be talking about, I don't see on BTR very often. So when I see you guys on, I log in, I talk to you, I listen to you because you're talking about stuff that everyone should be aware of. When you talk about environmental catastrophe, George Bush was the parent of environmental catastrophe. These environmental catastrophes may be one of the very reasons so many children today are born with autism. We don't know where autism comes from. We know it's probably an environmental circumstance. In the last 10 years or so, most of the federal programs that were designed to hunt down Superfund sites, find toxic waste sites, make companies responsible for their the pollution they produce, those agencies have almost all been either defanged, destroyed, or undermanned to the point that they simply can't make your food safe, they can't make your water safe, they can't make your air safe. There are hundreds of cities in the U.S., and there's probably 100 people working for the EPA. How do you expect them to be able to provide you with real security? All these food poisonings that you've been hearing about, there used to be a Food and Drug Administration of 250,000 workers. I think they have 2,500 now. So are we seeing more food-related illness, broadband food poisonings? Yes, we have. E. coli outbreaks all over the country. We had it in peanut butter. We had it in spinach leaves. We had it in beef. We had it all over the country. These things happen because those agencies, which are vital in a nation the size of the U.S. If you're Finland, well, then you're the size of a state, and you can have a group of people monitoring every aspect of your food movement in or out of your country. But we are huge. Food comes in so many different ways. It comes in by air. It comes in by sea. It comes in by boat. It comes in by truck. We need more people, and these agencies are undermanned, understaffed. Your food is not safe. Your water is not safe. So if you've ever wanted to ever rant and rave at a politician to get them to do their job, the Food and Drug Administration, the EPA, all those watchdog agencies that are supposed to be protecting our environment, they absolutely should get an email from you saying, what the, you fill in the blank.
Oh, wow, powerful. Sweet Chi, go ahead, babe. We got 2 minutes remaining.
Well, I just want to say the way we be serious about this child support stuff, I want people to marinate on this tonight, just put something in y'all heads. We need to try to fight for our teachers, too, because they getting laid off and our kids need them. And so we need to figure out what we need to do for these teachers because we don't give them enough credit. We get too comfortable thinking, okay, well, they just teachers. But it's not that simple. We have to fight for what we believe in as far as you say, Don, child support. And I believe we need to stand up for these teachers also and take my head off to them, and I'm going to recognize them, and I'm going to break it down. We got to stand up for them.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, I tell you what, we got 1 minute remaining, family. I'm going to chop it up real fast. You know what puts me in the mind is when we used to talk about the steel curtain with Russia, and we never knew what was actually going on the other side, but all we relied upon was the information that our government provided us. Well, when that Russian thing got old, they focused on Iraq, and now they're focusing on other things. And you know what, family? Let's get out of the dark ages and let's start paying attention to what's really going on. With that being said, next Tuesday, we're going to be talking about professional athletes that end up broke as hell. All that money, and you broke now? What's going on? So join us next Tuesday on the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, 7 o'clock. And remember this, family, enlightenment, optimism, and truth and movement towards success. Because once you know better, you're not supposed to go back. So with that being said, family, I want to thank our caller for calling in. You know, great information, great information. Also, I want to thank my beautiful co-host, Sweet T, for coming in and sharing her time with me. And also, I want to at least lastly thank you, family, for tuning in as well. Because you know what? No matter what, I know that there's a million other places that you could have been. But with that being said, family, I want to send my blessings out to you all. Have a great night, and I'll hopefully see you all next Tuesday. Peace. One love. I'm out.
You move your body left, right, and hella tight with the full light. I wanna be your rock star, full of energy. I caught you looking on the fly, know you're feeling me. So let's get it, let's go, what you wanna do? I'm kinda eager at times, but damn, I'm feeling you. See, I can slow it down, cater to your every wish. These are the cat's appetizers, I'm your favorite dish. Yes, ma'am, I'm not cocky, I'm a go-getter. And all I see is you and me, popping more figures. If you're with it, we can split and get acquainted. If you're tired of the same old games, well, I can change it. Yeah. So tasty, now can I sample your pastry? You like it, I want it, baby girl, go ahead and flown it. Baby, so fresh, can we get freaky? We do rest, and all I need is one night, one night, one night, one night, one night. Baby, so fresh, can we get freaky? We do rest, and all I need is one night, one night. One of a kind of diva. Independent, get money, baby, I see ya. It's an honor just to meet ya. They call me D-Trey, I ain't scared to say I wanna freak ya.
Boy, you so nasty.
But in a good way, and it's a good day for you to get straight. I have you climbing the walls, commit to role play. I had crumbs in the past, you got the whole play.
Man, stop lying.
If I am, I'm dying. It's an insult for you just to say that you're fine.
Uh-huh.
Let's make it, we can do it like this. Post up in the VIP and pop quiz. Let's get tipsy. I know you're with me. I won't bite unless you want me to. Feel me? See, I'm good as it gets. I got the potion. Plus the motion for your ocean. Baby, so fast. Can we get free? We do match. And all I need is one night. One night. One night. One night. One night. Baby, so fast. So fast. Can we get free? We do match. And all I need is one night. One night. One night. One night. One night. You look good in your BPs. I'll be your prisoner if you release me. And all I need is one time, I guarantee. A night of passion, never last and wanna sleep. Sure you do, don't wanna be rude, but I can tell by the vibe that you're feeling me, boo.
Yeah, right.
It's hard to get. Yeah, I like that. I love a challenge, so you can fight back. Cause in a minute, you gon' witness where I'm nice at. So get them lips ready, cause you gon' fight that. See, I can rock steady, cold as an ice pack. I keep it coming till you're screaming that you like that. You feeling heated, baby? Let me control that. Your eyes telling me yes, so don't hold back. You got that bubblicious, I want the whole pack. So delicious, I had to let you know that. Can we get free? We don't match, and all I need is one night. One night, one night, one night, one night. It's so fast, so fast. Can we get free? It's a domain. And all I need is one night, one night, one night, one night, one night. It's so yeah, so tasty. Now can I sample your pastry, baby girl? So tasty. Now can I sample your pastry?
Ha, ha, ha.